Fight presents.
Women's Wrestling Talk. The number one women's wrestling show on the planet.
Make sure you're watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. I'm TK Trinidad, aka the Canadian Assassin, and she is a host and producer of Pro Wrestling Pets, Mission Pro, and Championship Wrestling. Please welcome Emily May Heller.
Hi. Hey, TK.
Hey. And today we have an amazing show like we always do. I mean, we're Women's Wrestling Talk. And of course, nothing but amazing guests. She is the current Chaotic Wrestling Heavyweight Champion and not America's Sweetheart, just like the Chocolate Sweetheart, but we'll get into all that. Please welcome Davian. How are you doing?
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. Yeah. So let's get into it. First off, now I'm just curious about your name. Like, it's easy, but it's very original. So your name, a made up name?
It's my real name. It's my government name.
Given name.
My mom wanted all of her kids to have very unique names. Mm-hmm. And so when I was born, she's like, oh man, I really don't know what to name her. And she saw Davy Ann in a newspaper. And she was like, I don't really like that. And so she changed it to Davy Ann. And that's how my name was invented, basically.
Kudos to your mom. It's like original, but it's easy. Wow. Like, I have an original name too, and it's like super long and it's difficult. So kudos to your mom. She got it just right.
Thank you.
So you started wrestling in 2013. So let's kind of start on the journey a little bit. So, you know, what made you want to start wrestling?
Yeah, I just fell in love with wrestling when I was 11. I was a really, really big Red Sox fan in like 2003, 2004. And so I've never really been like a conventional person. I was always just more of like a tomboy and never went with like the status quo. And I was like, yeah, I want to be like a Major League Baseball player. But like, you, like, women can't really like do that. I couldn't play for the Red Sox. I mean, I guess I could if I really wanted to. Mm-hmm. But then, like, my brother started watching wrestling, and I was like, man, I just, like, really like this wrestling thing. And it never left. Like, I was like, I love wrestling. And so when I was, like, 14, 15, my sister went to high school with Ken Doan, who was Kenny Dykstra in the Spirit Squad. And they did, like, an article in the newspaper on him in my town. And it said he trained at the Killer Kowalski School of Pro Wrestling. And I still have the article to this day. And I was like, this is where I'm going to train. And I just followed the school. It became Chaotic Training Center. And then it became the New England Pro Wrestling Academy. And all throughout like high school, I was like, I'm going to be a pro wrestler. Like, this is what I want to do. And my guidance counselors would like fight with me. I used to have some can you please like try and like do like, so my high school was very like, if you were different, you got lost in the shuffle. It's like, you're very streamlined. We had like 2000 right. students, five different towns, whatever. And they're like, you're going to take, so they would do, their class levels were like AE, which was like the easy class. And then AF was like mm-hmm. average, and then honors and AP. And I was always in the AF classes, just coasting and getting like A pluses in every single class. Like, I was at very high in my classroom, and they're like, can you like try like an honors class? And I was like, no, I don't want to do homework. Like, this isn't fun for me. I'm going to be a wrestler. And they were like, oh God, like, can you fill out the common app and go to college? And I was like, no, how can I leave here as fast as possible? I tried to take summer classes my junior year, so I would never even have to go to school my senior year. But they were like, no, you can't do that. You can graduate half year. So I graduated in January instead of June, and I started working full time. I bought a car, cash, saved up for the full year of tuition at NEPWA, and I walked in 3 days after my 18th birthday, which was the first day they were open for class, and I just handed a year's worth of tuition, and I was like, all right, let's do this thing.
Wow.
And that's amazing.
Day two, I was like, this isn't for me. I was like, it's a no for me. The reason I still kept wrestling is because I'm very stubborn. And I was like, okay, this is what you wanted for since you were 11. Like, just give it more than two classes, even though it's hard and you're hurting and it sucks.
Yeah.
And I heard that the boy, like, I was the only girl, of course. And the boys were, like, making bets of when I was going to quit. And I was like, oh, no. And here we are, 9 years later, me stubborn as hell, still kicking because they made a bet when I was going to quit. So,
oh my God. That's an amazing story.
Yeah, that shows your determination. And what I love about that story is that you kept pushing through and you didn't let anyone else bring you down. Your guidance counselor, the guys in your classes. How was your family's reaction when past the 2-day mark, you were like, this is what I'm going to do?
So my family has always been super supportive. They're like my biggest fans. When I came home after day two and it looked like I had been in a car accident, my mom is like, maybe this isn't the dream. Okay. Like, can we please reevaluate? But like, even like my brother, was a professional cheerleader. So like we've kind of just picked like different passions and avenues. My older sister loves ballroom dancing. So she does ballroom dancing. But yeah, like I was just like, yeah, my mom is, she lives in Arizona now, but she's like my biggest fan. Every single time I have a match, I like send her the link so she can watch it. And she just thinks I'm like the coolest thing ever. But like when I get injured, she's like, oh my God, like, let's stop. Like, let's stop. And I'm like, mom, come on. It's been this long and this hard. Like, we're going to keep trucking along. She's like, yeah, but like your face. I'm like, I know.
That's any parent. Any parent's going to be worried about that.
Exactly. She would yell at me when I would get a sunburn. So like, you know, when I come home with bruises and things, she's very, very concerned, but she's like, you love it. And like, she thinks it's so cool. And she's just like, nobody ever like tried to like harsh your mellow basically, or just like walk into the beat of your own drum. So
now you started in 2013. I think it was just a lot of, I mean, I can't speak to before that, but a lot of things have changed as far as women's wrestling. So when you started to like this point, like, you know, kudos to the dedication and knowing exactly what you wanted at that age. Cause I think I might've, I don't know, by the time I was in college, I had like switched off like 4 or 5 times. So kudos to you for knowing exactly what you wanted, but seeing the change from 2013 to now, like what have you seen change? What have you seen improve? What would you like to see improve in women's wrestling?
It's honestly really crazy. Is actually a cheap plug right here. Chaotic Wrestling just did a documentary, which we are releasing, called Special Attraction, on their Chaotic Wrestling Women's Championship. And yeah, like when I first started, I mean, I was treated like a boy at my school because if I didn't get to wrestle the boys, like I wouldn't be able to wrestle. Like I was the only girl there for 6 years. So they treated me like an equal, which was great. And I think is really important. And I hate saying like that women should like wrestle like men, but I think that's kind of why when the change and like people started taking women's wrestling seriously, it's because they're like, oh my God, they're like an athlete and they're actually fighting. And it's not just like, okay, let's pull each other's hair. I think a time and a place, like, don't get me wrong, I love Divas Wrestling. I think it's entertaining as hell. And like, they're hot and they have beautiful gear. Like, there is attributes that are incredible. But also, like, I want to see like a really good match and like storytelling that's not 2 minutes. So I really love that we're kind of on this, we went through this evolution of like, okay, it's bad. And now it's like, okay, now we're going to take them super seriously. And I think now it's like, kind of evening out where we do get a little bit of that diva feel where there still is a lot of glamour, but there is like that fight feel that like just men's wrestling has. And I really like that balance for my personal experience. Like when I first started wrestling, like the pool was limited, very, very limited. Like when I was having my first matches, like my trainer was like, hey, you need to carry this match. And I was like, this is my third match. Like, what do you mean? And
that's some pressure.
Yeah. And he was just like, because like the girls didn't train like you have. Like the way it was is you're a girl, you went to one class and then you could be on a show. And then it'd be like, oh, well, I'm on a show, so why do I need to go to class? And I'm really glad that mentality has changed. Is that when my, I think it was one of my first few classes, and Chaotic Wrestling was running a show, and it's called, we call them the Spinners Show. And there's a local baseball team in Lowell called the Lowell Spinners. And we would run like little pop-up shows outside the baseball stadium for like students and things. And they were like, oh, have Davey be a manager. And my trainer was like, absolutely not. And I was like, I don't understand, like, what's going on. So, okay. Then he has later explained to me that they didn't want me at 2-3 weeks in to be like, oh, I'm on a show, and just stop coming to class. And that was kind of like the mentality of what happened. Is like, oh, okay, you're on a show after 2 weeks, and you can kind of take a bump. So, yeah, it's fine. You can just take bookings. And because, like, women's wrestling was so limited with the talent pool, it was like, yeah, okay, oh, you look decent, we can put you on a poster, you can sell tickets, you can maybe take an okay bump, yeah, you can have a 5-minute match, it's fine. And then, like, the, you know, the women who actually tried and were like training, like the Lufistos and like those legendary women, were just like, oh my god, like, it's so easy for them to just like and I really like that that has changed. Like, fans expect equality, like, not equality, a quality of women's wrestling now. And if it's not good, they're like, what's going on? And I think that's really important. And it shouldn't just be women's wrestling. It should be all wrestling that you get the quality of. But men just get a pass because there's less women. There's less women numbers. So, it was like just so harped upon, but like the change has been really, really nice over my, you know, like 8-9 years.
Yeah. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, it is true. There is like this surge in women's wrestling, and there's these new talents coming up to the forefront of wrestling. And so how has your style and evolution changed in the ring? Doing intergender matches to training in a different way 8 years ago, how has that evolution happened for you?
Yeah, I would say just like the past like year or two has been like the best version of me. I was just like, oh my God, cringe when I try to watch my earlier stuff. So it's just like, oh, you're terrible. What are you doing? And a lot of it too was like my growth as like a human being. I started wrestling when I was 18 years old. Now I'm 27. So I was very, very like shy and skittish and not confident into like try stuff. So I just do super, super basic moves. Like, okay, this is the drill we do in class, and that's what I'm gonna do on a show because this is what I'm comfortable with. I didn't feel comfortable really getting out of my shell. And then it took like, you know, wrestling people who were better than me and like actually gave me the confidence to like be like, okay, I could do more. So now I'm like, okay, let me try this move. Even though I'm not athletic, like, let me try it and see if I could do it. And then, you know, doing the intergender matches, it's just like, okay, I need to step my game up if I am going to be in this match. Like, not saying I don't need to step my game up if I'm going to wrestle like, you know, like a Jordan Grace or Deonna Purrazzo or something, but like, it's the men in New England, they're just like, they're so talented and just like all over the world too, but like, this is just the majority of where I wrestle. And just because I'm a girl doesn't mean that I shouldn't get the opportunity to wrestle them. Like, when I was in class, I was wrestling Tommaso Ciampa for an hour, you know, before class. And like, he helped me so much when I was training. And it's like, well, why can't I do that on a show? If I wrestle Carmelo Hayes at class all the time, why can't I wrestle him on a show? He's really good. He'll elevate me to another level. That's what I want to do. And so it took like really just feeling more confidence in myself and also having like my peers have confidence in me. For a bit, I kind of felt that like, I was in a bad place in my life, in my personal life, and my wrestling really suffered. And my trainers and my peers had kind of just like given up, like, oh, Davey's probably gonna quit. But I'm stubborn. And so that really helped me elevate myself too, of being like, okay. And then also like finding my character, like when I first started, I was like, yeah. Like I know women's wrestling and you're supposed to be like pretty and I don't know, like throw glitter on gear. I don't know. So finding a gear designer was super beneficial. Find something I could wear that I could be comfortable and confident in. And then just starting to like experiment with like makeup styles and things like that. Like, oh, I like a lot of glitter. I'm going to pack glitter on my eye and then just be like, okay, cool. Do I look like a crazy person or does it look cool? And then just like, I just experiment a lot with growth as a person. And I feel like because of myself organically changing, my character in wrestling has organically changed. So mm-hmm. what fans are seeing and connecting to is really just me. Like it's not any kind of fake display that I'm trying to put out there that people were trying to put me like the square peg in the round hole for so many years.
Yeah, it's been really crazy. Like, you know, I think, yeah, I agree with you. Like when you first started, it was around the time where there wasn't a lot of women. I've heard so many stories where, yeah, mm-hmm. there's only one girl in the class. Now, I mean, it's just been an influx over the last 5 or 6 years. And now speaking to that, I mean, we try to follow as many women wrestlers as possible, but sometimes like, you know, where there's somebody else who pops up. And how I actually was introduced to you was when I saw you were voted the Chaotic Wrestling Wrestler of the Year for 2021. And I was like, who is this? And like, I watched some of your matches and I was like, okay, like I see you. So first off, congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
And then second, like when you heard the news, like did they let you know, beforehand or was it one of those things?
No.
Saw them post it?
I was sitting on my couch and I'm very good friends with the former owner of Chaotic Wrestling, Chase Del Monte. And we were sitting and watching a stream that was going live. And he goes, oh, look who won Wrestler of the Year. And I was like, wait, what? Like, what is going on? And then I was like, you know what? If I had lost to JT Dunn, I would have lost my damn mind. So thank you. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it was really cool. Especially like Chaotic's my home. It's where I started training. It's where I had my, like, you know, one of my first matches. Like it really meant a lot. And it Chaotic, like I actually left Chaotic for a year or two. And I came back and, at the time my trainer was the owner and he was like, you're not a baby face. And I don't know why we're booking you as a baby face. You suck. Da, da, da. And I'm like, oh, whatever. I hate you. And then all of a sudden, like I, you know, me and JT started tagging and people loved us. And I was like, how does it make you feel that I am just the ultimate baby face? He's like, no way, I hate you. And then it just evolved even more to just like me being on my own and being this big baby face and like having really, really cool moments. And like, I just love the fans there. So yeah, it's been a wild journey.
Yeah, I mean, what did that you also had like your moment of the year this past year, right? Winning the heavyweight championship. So how did that feel to have all of those moments happen, especially in a very difficult year?
I still tear up thinking about it because it was just so cool. Like I had never. ever expected it. Like I've said before, like I'm a kind of like very ignorance is bliss person. Like, yeah, bad things happen to me, it's whatever, it's life, blah blah blah. So like kind of being treated like crap in wrestling, it's just like, oh yeah, it's whatever, it's the business, it's fine. Never did I expect to be like somebody that helps open doors for like the younger generation. It was never a goal. It just kind of been like, okay, it happened. And I'm like, oh, weird. That's me. What? Like it was never intentional. I was never like, yeah, I really am setting out for, you know, the future of New England women's wrestling. And they're going to be able to like do whatever they want, blah, blah, blah. Like, I was just kind of like, yeah, I'm here. I just wanted to be a wrestler when I was 11. And then when it kind of like the story kind of started to come together of JT and I breaking up as a tag team, it was my idea. I was like, I want to wrestle him. Like he's really good. and I want to be able to wrestle him instead of tag with him. And he's mean, so he decided to stay a bad guy. And okay, fine, have fun with your new friends and just ignore me and ruin my life. And then, like, you know, the story all came together of, like, the winning the title. And, like, thinking about it, I'm like, Tommaso Ciampa has had that title. Ivar has had that title. Donovan Dijak has had that title. Anthony Green, Carmelo Hayes. Like, my name is, like, with the people? Like, what? Like, there is an outlier here and it's me, but like just to have like everybody in the locker room like crying and like turning around and seeing them crying and I'm crying and aww, the whole crowd is on their feet chanting for me, like I watch it so many times.
Well, I saw that picture of you like tears down your face holding it up, and yeah, those are moments that get me, and so I can't imagine being in that moment and just taking it all in.
It is literally still like a fever dream. Like every time I watch the footage, and even we just, you know, had the documentary and I was able to see the first cut, and there's different, it was a different camera that filmed for the documentary. And just the footage was like so beautiful and edited so different and put to a different song. And I was just like, sobbing, and I had just had a spray tan, and I was like, don't cry with your fresh spray tan. And then like it was just like tear marks, like that was just like, oh man. Luckily I showered and my spray tan even out, but I was like, oh boy. But it's just like it's so hard to not get emotional about it. Is it something I worked so hard for and never ever imagined happening for me? I literally never forget, even with all of my concussions, when I first started training, there's two students who I was friends with, and they went, yeah, look, could you see us being chaotic heavyweight champion? And I was like, yeah, sure guys, you know, whatever. And then it was me. Like, and neither of them like even like continued to wrestle, and I was like, oh my god, like whoever would have thought? Like, I thought the women's championship was the ceiling for me. And then, like, I go on and I win the heavyweight title. It's crazy.
So, we're going to put a pin on the concussions because you just kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Just...
Okay. Yeah, and you should pass that.
Concussions. Yeah, and with an yeah, S. Well, yeah, we'll put a pin on that. We'll revisit that. But you did make mention of Tommaso Ciampa, who you had like a match with and you wrestled with. And, you know, we see where he is now in NXT. Has he given you any advice, you know, prior to that or during, you know, his career?
Yes. Tommaso, he probably doesn't even remember me. I hope he does, because he did leave a lasting impact on me. When I first started training, I was probably like a year, probably close to a year in. I had my first match about 8 months in, and he was recovering from injury, and I was working very close to the New England Pro Wrestling Academy. So I would get to class like 45 minutes to an hour early, and he would just roll around with me and help me. And then like the boys were like, why does Tommaso like you? He hates girls. And I was just like, I don't know. Like, because I'm here and he just like wants somebody to roll around with. I don't know. And then when I was having my first match, like he went over stuff for me to do. And then he texted me after and was like, did you guys get to do any of the stuff that we called? And I was like, no. And he was just like, screw her. Like, whatever. Like, you're better. And I was just like, okay, thank you. And then one word of advice he gave me when I went to Japan, I was 21. I went to Japan. And everybody's like, oh my God, you're going to Japan, blah, blah, blah. You look, blah, like, it's going to be amazing, da, 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 da. He pulled me aside and he said, try to not get too homesick because I know it's going to be hard. And he was the only one to say that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, like, he just gets it. Like, he's just, like, one of the best. And to see where he's at now is just so incredible. He's so talented. He's, like, still one of my favorite wrestlers to watch. So to have him help me and like Ivar help me, who Ivar still like reaches out and like, you know, comments on my posts and things like that. They're just like, they're awesome people.
And now Let's get back to those concussions.
Oh, yeah.
We want to hear all about them.
I mean, so, first off, how many?
To be honest, I have no idea. I know. So I've had every incident or like injury I've had in wrestling has mostly been to my face. I had one time where I'm like the foot of a banquet hall chair was thrown at my head and I have a C-shaped scar
My
face from 15 stitches. And that was definitely a little concussion. And then, you know, just like I get like knocked loopy every once in a while. And then just on New Year's Eve, I dislocated my jaw and got a concussion. That sucked. That was probably the worst one. Like I had never like thrown up from concussions before, but this one I did. And my jaw was dislocated. The whole inside of my mouth was all blood blister. Happened to my head. So I am, you know, trying to be much more careful with my brain because it's very important. And I do, like, I take time off, I recover well, I make sure I go to the doctor.
Yeah, I was gonna ask like what your recovery routine is, because those are very serious. Those can have like 6 month to a year side effects.
Yeah. It's basically doing nothing. Like I stop going to the gym, like, or I'll do something like very, very light, nothing where it's going to like tax me like a lot physically until my doctor is just like, okay, yep, you're good. And you're like, you're feeling normal. Yeah. So I take it very, very seriously just because it's like, it's my brain. And I have to use my brain for my real life too. Nobody was using their brain. I swear, like, I will make wild comments like that before I started wrestling. I just kind of say things. It's, you know, just that's just my brain, the way it's wired. It's not concussion syndrome.
Oh, my goodness. I can only imagine your mom, because, like, you're telling me the story, and I'm like, and I'm
sure. My mother, she didn't know about my New Year's Eve injury. I didn't.
Oh, no.
Which always
she's gonna know now.
Well, so she found out because my brother told her, because he like saw it on Twitter or Instagram, and he was like, "Oh yeah, like Davey got hurt." And so she like calls me, and I'm like, "Well," because my jaw is dislocated, and she's like, "What happened? What's going on? Why do you sound weird?" And I was just like, "I got hit in the face," and she's like, "Did you go to the doctor?" And I was like, "No, I didn't go to the doctor yet. I'm going to go tomorrow." Because it was New Year's. I wasn't going to go to the hospital and sit there for like 6 hours. Like, I just wanted to sleep. I went to urgent care the Monday. They took an x-ray of my jaw. Like, oh, it's just dislocated. Nothing's broken. Pop back in. Oh, there you go. On your way. Bye. Like, it was fine.
No way.
It was fine. It was like, I had like a giant bruise on my chin.
They gave you medicine, right? Before they put it back in?
Oh, no.
No,
they did it because they don't like to use like painkillers, really. So, like, hope you took ibuprofen before here. And I was like, no. And they're like, oh, there's CVS next door. You can go get ibuprofen.
Wow. That's
what you're going to have to take like none.
So, I was like, when I went to the hospital to get my scar stitched, they, this is me, you know, just blood loss. They're like, yeah, we're a teaching hospital, so like we're gonna have our student like finish the sewing. And I was like, yeah, like Grey's Anatomy, teaching hospital, just go ahead, stitch me up. And she took so long putting in the stitches, the anesthetic wore off.
Oh no,
this is horrible. And then the nurse comes in and she's like, oh my gosh, my son would just love you. Like, here's a picture of him. I was like, yeah, give him my break HIPAA and give him my number. Your son is cute. She never did. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to bring you some ibuprofen. And she's like discharging me. And I still don't even have ibuprofen. And my head, like my skull was showing. And I was like, can I please get this ibuprofen? Like, they're just gonna send me on my way after my anesthetic wore off. And I was like, oh my god, I know the opioid crisis is a big deal, but ibuprofen, please. Like, I have a headache.
Oh my god.
Well, I mean, kudos to the nurse, because stitching, especially because I have stitches on my face and I lucked out too. If they stitch it the wrong way, like,
oh,
that messes up your face. So kudos to, you know, at least she didn't mess up your face.
Yeah. I'm a very good healer. The worst part about it was like they left some of the stitches in, like after I got them taken out. So I was like, I thought I had a zit. And I was like, what? I was like squeezing and I was like, oh, this is a stitch. Oop.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could say some things about the healthcare, but we'll leave that alone.
Wow. I'm not touching it. I'm not touching it. Definitely. Yeah, definitely. That's a whole other discussion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, getting kind of back into kind of wrestling and your year last year, so you had two AEW matches, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to hear about that experience. Ty Conti and Abaddon were your opponents. So what was that experience like, and how did that all happen?
It was so cool. It was actually like Jacksonville, I want to say, right after their new year. I had just reached out, you know, I was recommended and was told to reach out on Twitter. And so I did, they got back to me like, yeah, sure. We'll send you some dates. You want to fly down to Jacksonville? And I was like, okay, like this is way.
Wait,
what the hell?
You're just sending DMs?
Yeah. Well, I was recommended by somebody who was on their roster and then was told, send a DM to this person. Yeah. I was like, okay, this is so easy.
TK's freaking out over here. Because we've heard this multiple times, right, TK?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, even how, like, people originally got signed, like, Brandy just sent them a DM. Like, it was just, I mean, your personality is, I mean, I wish you kind of were, like, in LA. I kind of want to just, I don't know if I can hang with you, but I kind of want to be that person just watching you do life.
No, like, you can hang with me, absolutely.
I think I can hang with you, but I don't know if I could hang with you. I feel like, you know, I'd say it'll be like an episode of Hangover where, like, I might not survive. So I just want to watch you more far.
So, yeah, I'll make sure, I'll check the roof. I'll make sure you get off the roof, TK. Like, no tigers in the bathroom.
I'll tell you. But kudos to that. So like Emily will say, I'm sorry for the shock.
No, that's okay.
In the DM, like, who does that? But like, you're
literally, like, DMs, I guess, is just the way it is now because one of my, not my student, just a student at New England Pro Wrestling Academy was like, yeah, WWE DM'd me on Instagram. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, it's like from a verified account. I was like, what is going on? Like, we're just DMing people on Instagram to get hired. Okay. But yeah, so that's what I did. I sent DM and they're like, yeah, here you go. Here's some dates. I flew down. My first trip, I did the doctor's office Britt Baker segment. And unfortunately, the match I had was scheduled for, the signed talent was injured. So it got scrapped. But Dustin was like, hey, I like really like you. You want to come back the next loop? And I was like, yeah, like I will come back every loop. And then I went back the next loop and I had Ty Conti and everybody was so welcoming. It was a really like wonderful experience because I had never been to TV before besides my very, very first match was for Ring of Honor. And that was 7 years ago. Like, and I was just like, yeah, again, locked out. Literally.
Yeah. We got to hear about that too.
My trainer gets an email and and he texts me and he goes, hey, check your email. I just forwarded you an email. And I was like, okay, weird, but I will. And it was around like April Fool's Day. And I was like, if this is a prank, this is not funny. Like, and he goes, can you get gear ready? And I was like, I guess. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I got boots thinking I would be wrestling in like 6 months from now. But no, it was a week. And it was Ring of Honor Television against Mischief in the Manhattan Center WrestleMania weekend.
I feel like we need to play the lottery, Emily. Like, I feel like after
I know
I'm gonna go and play the lottery because it just it's just rubbing off on me, and I just
yeah. Do you have any lotto numbers you use on the regular? Because
I've never played the lottery.
You should. Hey guys, I won $1 million and I didn't I just picked the ticket.
She's just like putting it out there. She just puts the energy out there.
I try to. I was actually just having this conversation with my roommate last night because he was in a bad mood. And I was like, I want you to call my psychic. I'm not like super into psychics, but I think it's fun. And I got this really great one in Arizona. His name is Alex. If you guys are interested, I'll send you his info. But he does like birth chart readings. And he was like, yeah, you're a Leo rising in one of your houses. And you have like major celebrity energy.
That's so why you're a Leo.
Like, oh, yeah, you have quite the celebrity energy. And I was like, I do. I'm like, how many times do our friends say we need a reality TV show? And he's like, yeah, whatever.
Silly. Yeah, yeah, that's that makes a lot. Like you, I'm a Leo as well.
I love that. I'm
like a very like low key Leo. You're the Leo that everybody talks about.
Yeah, you're on the other side of the spectrum of the Leo-ness.
So I'm a Cancer, but like one of my houses that brings off my personality is Leo rising.
Very Leo.
Yeah. And I'm very much a Cancer too. Like very like nurturing kind of person, very like motherly, which is why I'm basically the mother hen of women's wrestling. And not even just women's wrestling in New England, like all of even the boys, they call me mom. Like you guys know who Alec Price is? He's like, hi mom, every single show. Like it's adorable. But I'm just like, I am 27. I don't have 40 kids.
Did that start right away? Like when did that start happening?
I feel like it was like the last couple years when they're just like, yeah, Davy's just like our mom. Like she just, I will literally like roll up in my, you know, SUV with my 10 kids in the car to a show and be like, okay, off you go. We're all here to wrestle. Yay. It's like, I always have like a full car in a full house. We never don't have guests at our house. Like every weekend there are people here, which I love. But it's just like, oh my God.
That's so funny. Do you count them and then make sure they eat as well on the road?
Oh yeah. Oh, I have to. One time I left a venue to go out to dinner without one of them in the car. Riding, whatever, we're like 5 minutes away from the venue and then like get a text and like Ashley Vox is like, hey, we left Tony at the venue. And I was like, and he's like literally standing outside with his backpack, like a sad kid left outside of school.
Oh no.
Bad.
Oh goodness.
That's so sad.
That's when I said like this in the county. Like, we have everybody.
Okay. Well, we have some good news. I want to spoil this because I'm not going to be there, unfortunately. But you're going to see, I'm assuming you're going to be there, Emily. You're there.
Yes, I will see you at Mission Pro Wrestling. Yes,
I'm so excited.
So you're facing Sierra. And so are you getting ready for that? Like that's in a few weeks. And
I am. I'm super excited. Like Mission had been on my list. And then like we'd kind of gone back and forth a couple times and like finally solidified a date. I was like, oh, this is so exciting. I've been to Texas for Sabotage 1 or 2 years ago. And I love Texas and I've like been dying to go back. So, and especially like Sierra is somebody I've never wrestled before. So it's a bunch of firsts and I'm super excited for it.
Awesome. Well, we'll definitely have to take you to Bucky's or some type of fun thing to do. We always try to do something fun with all the ladies at Mission Pro.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh my goodness.
My boyfriend is very upset. It's his birthday that weekend. And I was like, listen, I'll make you a cake. It's fine. I'll make you a cake. I gotta go.
You're not gonna take him with you?
No.
Why? He needs to see your debut.
He's wrestling on January 29th. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
He's a newer wrestler. He just moved here. So, I'm like, you need to take your bookings too. This is just what happens. This is what happens. It's fine.
It's part of the road life, you know? You kind of have to balance it. My husband's in the business as well, and so we literally exchange calendars, and sometimes things overlap, and that's just what you do.
Definitely.
So you said Mission Pro has been on your bucket list for a while. Looking, you know, it's a new year, 2022. There's some incredible opportunities opening up for women in the industry. What other things do you have your eye on for this year?
I would love to possibly sign a contract this year. That is like my biggest goal. It's usually my goal every year. Mm-hmm. I think I'm chipping away closer and closer every year. But I would love to maybe continue to do some AEW stuff or Impact. Those would be my two places that I would really love to work for.
Nice, nice. Whew, man. Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to come back on. I'm going to follow you closely. You have so many stories. Like, I mean, your energy is amazing. And I'm also kind of worried because these concussions and stuff. Like,
I'll be good. I'm very durable. I'm super durable, I promise. Like,
ay vey. All right. Well, let's get into these rapid hot takes
real quick. All right. I love rapid hot questions.
Rapid hot tag. So who is your favorite musical artist of all time?
Chase Rice.
Your house containing everything you own catches on fire, and after saving your loved ones, pets, you have time to make one final dash to save one item. What would it be?
The Chaotic Wrestling Heavyweight Championship.
Good one, good one.
Take that gold with you.
Yeah.
If you had one superpower, what would it be?
To be able to eat anything I want and not gain any weight.
Yes. Amen to that. And last question, if you were able to live to the age of 90 and retain either the mind or the body of your, you said you're 27, right?
Mm-hmm.
27-year-old self for the last 60 years of your life, which one would you choose?
Well, probably the mind, because the body needs work. The body needs work. So I don't want to keep this as my final form.
Yes, I like that.
But let's improve on the physical aspect. Yeah.
There it is. See, short and sweet. And now we have one panel question. So we've seen a lot of this. And shout out to Mickey James. I don't know what she put in the universe, but she's making it happen all around. So we've seen a lot of female wrestlers come through the forbidden door. Who would you like to see next? So we're seeing Mickie James in the Royal Rumble. She's been on Impact. She's been on our ROH. She's been all over the place. Who would you like to see next come through that forbidden door? And what promotion?
Ooh, that is a good question. Oh, my.
It's a hard one. I don't even know.
It is a hard one. It's really hard.
It's hard because at what level, at what promotion, like how are we crossing over? Like there's so many things I'm overthinking.
Don't overthink it. It's a dream because we, you know, some of the stuff will never happen. And it could be somebody who's no longer wrestling too. It's your rules.
My heart immediately goes to like, I would love to see like Trish Stratus in Impact. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like she would just kill it with all those girls. And, like, Trish and Gail. Like,
yes.
And Gail would come back. Mm-hmm. And, like, Trish and Mickey again. Trish and, like, Deanna. Like, those would be Trish and Chelsea Green. Like, those would be stuff.
Yeah.
Trish Stratus was my favorite woman. She's just an icon. Like, I love her. So...
That's a good one.
Yeah. Emily?
Oh my gosh. So I'm inspired kind of what happened at the Impact pay-per-view this weekend. That I loved like that the kind of ROH takeover. So I kind of want to see, like, I'm really liking what Roxy is doing. I know she's super new to the industry, but I can see her kind of like taking kind of going all over. I really like Jordynne Grace right now. And kind of see her breaking down doors and kind of going everywhere. Deanna kind of has done it. Like she really has kind of broken doors down, and I've loved how she's kind of been able to touch every promotion. There's so many choices that can kind of go either way. I think we do need to get some more like managers and general manager types in there too. You know, like Maria Kanellis kind of came in there with her like Ring of Honor crew, and it's like we need some of those leading ladies to come in with their groups and take over.
I like it. Definitely for Trish, Then, of course, I thought Naomi, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. And then the next person I thought was, I can't remember her real name, but her old ring name, Nia Jax. I mean, I would love to see her ROH, Impact, AEW. Like, I feel like that will be amazing. I don't know. I can't remember if she said that she's going to continue wrestling. She's been doing a lot of TikTok videos with Mojo. I don't know even how that's going, but I would love to see that. that's my final answer.
Yeah, another one that I was thinking about is, it might be too soon, but like Taya Valkyrie has kind of touched every promotion as well. And I feel like with her industry knowledge and just her talent in the ring, that could kind of add some interesting elements to the promotions that are happening right now.
Yeah, hopefully like ROH and NWA have their women events again. I mean, Impact always has some great women events, but seeing Taya, I mean, she started wrestling again, but just seeing her like in those women's events that she had to miss out. She didn't have to, but she signed WWE at the time. That would be, I mean, who doesn't love Taya? She's amazing. But that is it. Damian, where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Davian__. I do have a Facebook fan page too. It's Not America's Sweetheart. I like never update it. Because, I mean, do people even use Facebook really anymore?
Old folks.
But yeah, Instagram and Twitter are the places I'm most active. So.
Well, thank you again. We definitely look forward to like seeing you just everywhere. Like, I mean,
thank you.
your personality is just amazing, and you know, definitely want to see more of it.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me, guys. This was a blast.
No problem. I mean, the stories itself. Jeez.
I know. Yeah, it's going to be an exciting year for you. I can't wait to watch.
Thank you.
And Miss Emily May.
Meet you on the 29th.
I know. I'm excited as well. You can follow me on all social platforms at Emily Mayhauer. You can go and follow Mission Pro Wrestling as well, and go check out the show on January 29th on Title Match Network.
There it is. And make sure you go and check out Women's Wrestling Talk on all social media platforms, WWE Talk Pod. Definitely go to our website. We have new articles there. We have shows. We have after shows. We have so much going on. It's absolutely amazing. So definitely go there, check it out, support us. And you can follow me on everything at TK Trinidad. Till next time, guys. Ciao.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet.